You are about to experience Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. Fortunately, you are about to hear lots of opinions, but rarely any facts. Impersonation might occur, but good luck trying to figure them out. This program is not intended for kids or the easily offended. Listener discretion is advised. You have been warned. You press play. It's too late to stop. Get ready to podcast.
All right, welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. It is I, DJ Impact, with Sin City Steve and Rob Bossolari, and welcome to another episode of Wrestling Talk on this all-in weekend. Although we're going to kind of mention all the things we saw this past week, a lot of our attention will be on the pay-per-view that happened today. I got a chance to see that as well. If you are listening and watching us live, use the chat button to put in any of your comments in the YouTube, Facebook, or Twitch, and we will try to get it in as we see. So we thank you, as always, for hanging out with us. All right, so let's start off with the Too Sweet for the week. All right, Sin City Steve, what was too sweet?
Well, as if there was any doubt, Bryan Danielson is your new AEW World Heavyweight Champion. After defeating Swerve Strickland in a, I'll say it, in an instant classic at All In.
You mean he wasn't going to lose his job after all?
I know, right? No shit. Realistically, it was almost a foregone conclusion, but this actually sets up quite a few things, and you know, it definitely helps to boost that AEW title lineage. I know that Tony Khan had mentioned the specifics of wanting to, you know, have certain names in the title lineage for his world championship, and Bryan Danielson's name was on that list. So This wasn't a surprise by any means. Obviously, you know, the family there at ringside, everything was great. I'll say, man, there was a near fall spot that got me toward the end of the match. Mm-hmm. Hangman jumped the rail, and he didn't actually interfere in the match necessarily. All that he did was, you know, just stand there and talk shit on the outside of the ring to Swerve, and that was enough. And I'm sure that that's what they'll use as a storyline vehicle to get to the next chapter between those two. But Hangman did not physically get involved in the match. Swerve was about ready to hit a swerve stomp and put Bryan out of his misery, but that didn't happen. And Bryan Danielson ends up getting the submission victory in 26 minutes. Elsewhere, I gotta make mention of the other five-star match on the show, which was MJF versus Will Ospreay. And this match ended exactly as you would assume it would. Will Ospreay hits MJF with the Tiger Driver 91, which looked fucking brutal, by the way. But Max is okay. He didn't get hurt, anything like that. But obviously, Ospreay picks up the win with the Tiger Driver, and it was absolutely what needed to be done, as I had mentioned in that match. You know, these two guys went out there and they put it all out on the fucking line. This match was also right around that 26 minute mark. Definitely recommend going and checking it out. We actually got a return from Daniel Garcia. So that was a bit of a payoff as well. Keep in mind, Max tweeted out earlier in the day that Dynamite Diamond ring had gotten stolen. And so thus he didn't have it. He didn't have his old faithful weapon. So he instead had to turn to the brass knucks and didn't get the job done for him. Will Ospreay, your new AEW international champion, as he decreed after the match as well.
Which I said he was going to hold on to that belt. Remember, I called that one. I said he fished the belt out.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So
absolutely. Good call.
Yeah. I mean, write this down from Matt Michaels. It was permanently frozen somewhere.
Exactly. Definitely. Definitely. That was a well put together match for both of them, but definitely also the MJF and Ospreay match. That was quite entertaining. Yeah. I mean, as much pyro as they used throughout the beginning and start of the match, I'm like, is this the main event? You know, but nevertheless,
realistically, it could have been.
Yeah.
If we weren't so, you know, and rightfully so, the world championship should always be on last.
Exactly.
It's always been my view.
It should be.
Your main championship should always go on last. But, you know, they could have main evented with that international title match if the world title wasn't being defended, for instance. And absolutely, everybody would have been just as fine.
Rob, I know this week you haven't watched too much, but what did anything you watch at all kind of stand
out? Here's what I'll say to you.
Yeah.
The tits were out. The chin was up.
Okay.
But there was no shoe, and she lost because of it. Toni Storm put on a banger. Luther sold some freaking great bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Took a missile. Gives the finger as he's pulling the belt away from Mariah May, which was great. And with that white, shiny glove, I loved it. And we had an opportunity by which Toni Storm could have bashed Mariah May in the skull with the heel, would have been a disqualification DQ victory. She retains, and that would have been satisfying. But they gave it to Mariah May. Now,
is that the right call?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. The right thing to do, but I'm nervous now because they've done this twice now. Are we always just going to go to a state and give, or a country and give the belt to that to that country's person? Because they did it for Saraya. They gave her the belt last year and she had it for like 2 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Now we give it to Mariah May. And she's good. The difference is she's going to do something with it. Saraya didn't do anything with it. Mariah May is entertaining as fuck. There was an old Ren and Stimpy episode for those people who remember, where Ren takes a serum and he becomes like a Jekyll and Hyde, and he becomes apathetic Ren and evil Ren. And then evil Ren takes it and he becomes psychotic Ren. This is what Toni Storm was, evil. This persona was evil, just like, Broken Matt Hardy was evil and then became likable. So now we have to take this and make, you know, from Venom, we make Carnage. And now we have Carnage. That's what Mariah May is now. She is, we took this evil persona, it grew into a face. Let's get it back again. Mm-hmm. So how can we take this movie persona, this noir persona, and make it evil? Give it to Mariah May. She's going to do something with this. I don't know where she takes it from here, but very good. The match had lots of great spots. The hip attacks were flying. The spot with the mother where she's just grabbing her, and then she's hugging the mom, and she's, oh my baby, I'm loving this stuff. And it also, when your face loses and they're still in the game, I hope that we keep Toni Storm in the game, which she just doesn't disappear for 3 months.
Yeah,
because her road back will be fucking amazing to watch. Does she go back to being regular Toni Storm slowly, or does she continue with this and milk the persona longer? I hope she milks the persona longer. Maybe even goes 10 years forward and dresses up like it's the 60s, you know, where she's like the jaded old Hollywood star smoking a cigarette in the corner. I don't know where we go with this, because she's basically Marilyn Monroe. And for what it's worth, looks like her. She's got her. So that's going to be great. Watching the pediarchy do what they do, that's interesting. I'm really, we'll get into that later, because on the horizon, I've got something, you know, what are you looking forward to?
Okay. We'll get to
that. But that was my match where I was like, the other two were, you're in England, you got to give it to him. MJF got some heat with doing the American belt. You're not going to have, Bryan Danielson lose and blow his whole career. So that wasn't going to be a thing. Mariah May is English. Toni Storm's Australian. But Mariah May can do something with this. So,
yeah. Okay. Good stuff for this week's Too Sweet for the Week? I can't think of too much Too Sweet from Raw and SmackDown. I mean, it was good stuff on there, but, you know, I would say in terms of the level of, you know, what All In was putting in, you know, it was just, you know, just entertainment as usual, but nothing that just crazily stood out. I am liking, of course, what they're doing with New Day and Odyssey Jones. It's going to be interesting to see that transition takes place. I think having something new for Xavier is going to
he's going to be a heel.
Yeah, but it's going to be is different, and I think that's going to be great for him to now be able to show something else other than what we've been seeing for such a long time. And Xavier is an awesome talent. Period. He's always one of the ones I've always kind of wondered why they never kind of, you know, pushed a little further, a little more.
Singles belt on him. He should be the U.S. champion three times over by now.
Yeah, I mean,
Intercontinental at least once.
So he's good enough to be King of the Ring, but that's about it. And I'm like, there should have been always something more there. But hey, we're gonna be able to see a different style of him. I'm looking forward to it. And yeah, so all right. Let's get right into our let's see if anybody needs love out there. All right, Rob, and now I know you didn't see a whole lot of the pay-per-view, but maybe you saw Dynamite or Collision or Rampage. Was there anybody that you could say maybe need a little love out there?
I've said this before, and they're giving him matches, but they're not utilizing his mic skills. Jay Lethal is riding second banana to a lot of people. And it's the first thing that came to mind. Steve's mind is a lot sharper. He comes up with things, and then this is the sucky thing. After we shut it down from them, I'm like, fuck, why did I forget about that? but I'm watching him. And we talked the other time about Jeff Jarrett and how the whole match with Jeff Jarrett and Bryan Danielson was a showcase of Jeff Jarrett's talents. But Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal, they should have tag gold as far as I'm concerned. Mm-hmm. They're very charismatic. They still have moves. And you call it Lethal Jarrett. Whatever you want to call it, they've already got the music. I don't like Sanjay Dutt. He's just obnoxious. You don't need him. And the big guy, he's gone, thank God. Mm-hmm. Karen Jarrett is perfect valet. It's good. Get some gold on them. Get them Ring of Honor gold. Put some Ring of Honor tag belts on them and flash them around on Dynamite. Because are they going to put on banger shows? Not necessarily, but then again, fucking, you know, he did. So I want to see them work the mic. I want to see them come up in costumes. I want to see them being utilized for the talents they have, because they're not looking old,
you know,
and they don't look bad.
John says Jay Lethal hasn't won a single match in AEW or ROH all year. He should go back to the Black Machismo gimmick at this point. I mean, listen, I yes, by all means, he could do that. That was great, but. But why are we just treating Jay Lethal in this way anyway, without even going through Black Machismo? This is one of the things I was a little bit of afraid of when, you know, certain people started to get over in the AEW, that this was going to, they were going to start getting lost, you know, in the shuffle. And Jay Lethal, I think, is one of those talents. I've always been a fan, still a fan, but I have not been able to be a fan with him since he's moved over into AEW. My last time of celebration of Jay Lethal was, you know, when he was what was the name of the group in ROH with him and Jonathan? God, what was the name of the
Foundation?
The Foundation. Thank you. Yeah, and since then, man, it's just. I just missed that. So we'll see, but hopefully something comes out of it. But that's a good one there, Robin. And John also mentioned earlier that where's the love for House of Black for not winning the trios titles at back-to-back All-In events? Sin City Steve, how about you, man? Who needs the love?
All right, so how about the entire AEW tag team division? I have never seen a single division so ice cold in my life. And you can chalk it up to the Young Bucks not defending the titles for a 4-month stretch. You can chalk it up to whatever you'd like, but the tag team wrestling has not been at the forefront as it was when AEW first started. So obviously you look at the three-way tag match. The Young Bucks retain, which is exactly what anybody with half a brain would have figured. Right. I only thought that the Acclaimed would have eaten the pin. It was actually Cash Wheeler that ate the pin. There were some pretty sweet spots in that match. Guys from, you know, different teams teaming up to hit, you know, the tag team finishers and things like that. And it was really kind of cool the way that everything was fluid in that match. But if you listen to the reactions that those three teams got, they did not get good reactions at all. Like the fans did not give a shit about any of these guys. And that's a shame. They really need to do something to rehab this tag division.
I can tell you what was wrong with that easily. Where's Daddy S? If you're going to have the Scissor Gang, you know, he's the draw right now. They're tired of the rapping. It was when it started, then it got good, then it's petered out. He's the guy. So if you don't have Billy Gunn out there in the ring, people want to see that fucking 60-year-old guy win matches.
Yeah. Honestly, at this point, what's next for the Acclaim? You have to turn him heel. They have to turn heel. They have to have a complete change in their gimmick. Because as you just said, Rob, the fans are not reacting to them. They're reacting to Daddy Ass. And realistically, at this stage of the game, Daddy Ass, it's great to have him out there as a nostalgia act, but they teased it last year. He's got to step away at some point. What happens when he does? Then you have two young, very skilled guys that you've done really nothing with, because the only claim to fame that their trio has is a guy who's in his 60s who looks still yoked as fuck and is, you know, say whatever you will.
That shit's got to wear off eventually.
Sometime, dude. Sometime. He's got to hit that wall sometime. I've met him.
He is so roided out of his mind. I've never seen muscles just vibrate like that. It's just, bro. Here's what you do. You have them go to every town rapping hateful shit about the town until the people are disgusted with them. You'd go MJF with it. They go through every town rapping about how that town's garbage. The people boo them nonstop. Then they go, the Acclaimed has arrived. And then you just go like that. And that's it. And then they'll go over again. It'll go full circle and they'll be over again. Simple.
Dude, we can only hope, man. There's got to be something. And then FTR, you know, those guys,
they're boring.
Unfortunately, they need something new as well. And then the grizzled young vets show up after the match. Notice
nobody cared
very much of a pop.
Right.
People did not give a shit about those guys. So it's like the entire tag division is ice cold right now.
But the grizzled young vets, I don't care what any of you guys say. We saw them at TNA. They suck to me. Those two Brits they suck. I don't care how good.
I was just going to say that spot just screams to me that they had that exact spot designed for the Motor City Machine Guns. And the Motor City Machine Guns, that's pretty much a sign that they're going to be going to WWE. As if there were, you know,
but here's
any doubts to that. But yeah, this should have been the Machine Guns in that spot. And since they didn't sign, they had to fill the void in some way with a team of some kind. So they brought
out Motor City Machine Guns going to WWE.
It's just a matter of time, sir.
And here's what I'll say about that. They have to be humble as fuck, because when they came to AEW, then the music hit. They walked down that ramp like they had 9-foot cocks and nobody gave a shit. And they were like,
yeah.
And they were like, but we're the Motor City. Everybody knows us. No, you're indie gold. I get it. That's when you learn. They were like not as big as they thought.
Yeah.
You know, sad. It's so sad. It's so sad what happens. You know, these guys, they thought they were gang shit. And they were just shit.
Oh, boy.
All right, this week's WTF. Let's do it. You know, I'll say this. So I watched All In. I mean, for the most part, I thought it was pretty well done. I will tell you what I do get a little irritated with is they have a lot of spots. And because they have so many spots, everyone is already prepared for the spot. And that just annoys me. I hate when everyone is grouped together and just sitting there waiting for the transition to happen. Like, you still should be in some ways kind of not knowing what's supposed to happen, but still kind of prepping for what is about to happen. So much of what I watch tonight, which is guys just waiting for, you know, who's about to jump out of the ring or whatever the case. And that to me gets annoying. Really does. And it was a lot of that tonight. I would also say I got annoyed, and shout out to Taz for correcting JR. But he kept saying that Swerve has to prove himself to Danielson. And I'm going, why? The Swerve is the champion.
He's the world champion.
It should be the other way around. And Taz eventually corrected him. But JR, come on, man. He kept saying the same thing over and over. And I'm like,
hold on now.
Yeah.
The what the fuck moment was the fact that they clearly got a dress shirt right out of the packaging, threw it on him because you could see the crease marks on the packaging. They didn't iron the shirt. Why the fuck are they even using this guy? He's well past the prime. There is nothing of nostalgia left within it now. If I am an AEW viewers obviously know what this guy brought to Attitude Era. And I would say up till about 2010, the guy was, you know, he's done. Oh, God. All right. I just saw that now. Yeah. But you know what? That's true. Look, you know what it is? You go, okay, so this guy has the knowledge in there, but it doesn't reach his mouth. So you got the guy, and we love him, but it's not. Like, Biden's still a president. He's still a – but then he goes, you know what? Hey, you know what? I heard there was a certain wrestler who didn't like to wear knee braces, eh, JR? Well, who's that? Stone Cold. Oh, he didn't like to wear knee braces. Jesus Christ, I'm listening to this going, what the fuck? Get this guy. Give him the cane. Yank him. Here's a bottle of your barbecue sauce.
It was definitely just a challenge to go through that. And shout out to John saying his WTF was for the return of Jamie Hayter. Instead of returning during the TBS championship match, like we all thought, she gets the 0 hour return to battle a bratty Soraya looking like a cosplay Becky Lynch. Wow. Yeah. Oof. Let me move over to you, Sin City Steve. Did you have any WTS for the event or even this week's pro wrestling?
I wish I didn't, but I have several. Okay. Yeah, several. So where to start? Oh, yeah. Let's take a look at just the sheer makeup of the show. So if you look at the pre-show, you had an 18-man tag match. a 16-man tag match. 8 men on each side. Okay. Then you had a mixed tag match. Then you had a 10-man tag match. And then to start the pay-per-view, you had a 4-way trios match. Oh, not to mention somewhere else on the show, you also had a 3-way tag match.
So when these guys are having this bacchanal, did they use protection?
Bro, like it's insane. Like I get it that it's the biggest show of the entire year and Tony wants to get as many people on the show as possible, but there are diminishing returns when you have so many multi-person matches on the show. It was just puzzling to me. And especially with the stuff on the pre-show, they didn't announce that shit beforehand. It was just one of those things where, oh yeah, well, these are going to be teams. Oh yeah, by the way, there's a 16 person match and then a 10 person match. It's like, what? What the actual fuck?
Did everybody find Mason Mansoor?
They were not on the show, believe it or not. They were not on the show. One of the more entertaining aspects of Collision the last couple of weeks has been MXM Collection. And yeah, nowhere to be found on this show. But elsewhere, you know, I understand why they did it, but why do you have Christian Cage go over in that gauntlet match? Why?
Right.
As soon as it happened, you noticed that it felt like as if the air was deflated out of the entire venue. Everybody was just like, oh, not this shit again. Same stuff that we saw 5 years ago with Luchasaurus teasing a heel or teasing a babyface turn on Christian, and then he doesn't have the balls to do it. It's just, get the fuck out of here with this shit. Mm. It's ridiculous. It doesn't need to happen. And the sad part is, that's what a lot of people are going to remember out of this match. This Casino Gauntlet match was one of the better ones that they've booked, if not the best one that they've booked since they've created that match stip. You had some great spots in there. You had the return of Nigel McGuinness, which coming at all. So I
love me some Nigel McGuinness. He's the best commentator they have.
The thing is too, like he looked fucking great.
Yeah.
Obviously you could tell that things weren't as quick with him, but dude, for the age that he is to be in the condition that he's in, for him to have the cardio that he displayed in that match was fucking awesome. Oh yeah. And by the way, there was also the debut of some guy that used to work in WWE called Ricochet. You know, not a big deal.
Wasn't he in an ambulance 3 weeks ago?
Supposedly. Yeah. So he came in, looked crisp as ever. And obviously everybody wants to see all of the high flying matches and all of the stuff that this guy is going to bring. It's going to be a perfect fit for him in AEW.
So he's not going to slip from the very top rope and blow his only opportunity like a certain.
He did not pull a Leo Rush. Surprisingly,
not Leo Rush. I wasn't talking about Leo Rush. I was talking about the former Evan Bourne.
Oh yes, yeah.
When you get to the
Matt Sydal,
he gets to the top. He slips and falls and he eats a dick. And they were like, oh, it's really slippery out here at Daly's place. And I'm like, his career's done here. He never recovered from that.
Not at all, ever. But yeah, and say what you will too, the TBS title match just felt flat for the very, very vast majority of the match. It wasn't until the very end where the fans actually started to give a shit about this match.
Yeah.
Say what you will about the events in the booking leading up to the match. Say what you will about, you know, it may have peaked the very first segment that they had together, but something was just off with these two. You could tell that Britt didn't want to necessarily do some things. People on the internet were saying that she was sandbagging. I don't know that to be true, but yeah, you could tell that she had a little bit of extra attitude going in this match. So we'll see what happens.
Doctor won't see you now.
Nope.
It definitely wasn't a hype match at all. It was kind of like people were like, you know, let's start making up something to not fall asleep. And yeah, so that was unfortunate. But okay. Let's move over next into our
Yeah, you're just skipping right over Rob.
Oh, I'm sorry, Rob. You know what happened? That's because Sin City talked for 10 minutes. So I thought
First, I want to give credit where credit is due. At the last minute, those sons of bitches tacked on like 15,000 more seats. Because when they panned around, it was a pretty nice looking arena. You didn't have to just get one section and then. So God bless them. They didn't get, you know, 89,000. I think they left with 65,000. Wow. Not bad. They did a decent job. Tony Khan did a decent job. I thought it was going to be embarrassing when when they panned around. I'm like, oh, here we go. Oh, no, wait a minute. The stadium looks mostly full. Shit. Good job. Good job. Not blowing Wembley. We know Forbidden Door is going to be in England. Don't know where. They're going to do a Forbidden Door next year. So that's going to be interesting. Get that out of the way. Let's get now to Collision. I'm watching Sammy Guevara come out in a suit, blonde tip ponytail to help Dustin Rhodes. And I'm going, this is the most ill-advised pairing of people. Mm-hmm. Oh, 53K. It looked like some more people came the day of. They made the stadium look fairly full, and it was embarrassing where they had, because I was like, oh, they're only going to not show the hard cam area. No, they did. It looked decent, and optics matter. This is what I'll say. I'm watching Collision, and I'm going, this guy's coming out in a suit. He doesn't look like he's got any synchrony going on with Dustin Rhodes. Dustin Rhodes is coming out with the Von Erichs too. He's got all the Ring of Honor belts right now, tag belts. It's starting to make it look like this is the pat on the ass belt. Like, here you go. This is like the award for like time served belt. Like they give you like an accomplishment, Oscar. You didn't
participation trophy.
Yeah, you get a participation trophy. That's what I was looking for. What the fuck is going on? Sammy Guevara is too good for that. Dustin Rhodes is too good for that. But putting them together, this isn't the golden truth. This is like, they're not doing anything with it. It's just putting two guys together. It's like, hey, what do we got left? Oh, you two. You guys have been soldiers for us. You want a belt this week? Huh? Give you a belt this week. Mr. Daniels. Yeah, I give you a belt. They said I can, call some shots. I got my Van Heusen shirt and tie here. Just, give you a belt. All right. Have fun with it. Do something with it. Oh, and here's a Von Erichs. We're in Texas this week. And then we'll bring them over to Scotland. We're flying in, They don't have they're easy. They don't even wear shoes. It's great. I don't like it. I don't like it. Now, I want to get into SmackDown real quick. This was a 2 hours of just predictable results. 2 hours of why the fuck did we even bother? You're not going to do anything with Cody Rhodes, or Cody Rhodes is going to lose. You might beat him up, but you're not going to do anything that. So putting him there with the fucking Australian losers, waste of time. You're not going to have the fucking Bloodline lose anything. They're going to put that fucking Jacob Fatu in a full body cast, and he's still going to win. You're not gonna do anything here. You've got the freaking girls right here, Naomi Belair, Jade Cargill. They're dressing up like the women Olympians. Great. That's gimmicks, not in-ring ability per se, not mic skills. They better get past the gimmicks with them, or it's gonna fall
let's not pretend, Rob, that these women can't put down, that they can't wrestle.
They can put, yes, but okay. But it is those other two women dragging right now, and Matt Michaels is coming somewhere, dragging fucking my girl Jade Cargill across the finish line. Remember that first fucking match she had, and that first bump she took, she was concussed when they threw her into that ring post at Royal Rumble. From that fucking point on, I went, God damn it. Yes, she's hot. We'll each go to our respective rooms later on and do what God intended. But yeah, my brother called me up. I didn't even know my brother liked wrestling. He saw my brother. I had a brother, unfortunately, who passed. He was a big wrestling fan. My other brother, who was not a wrestling fan, said, hey, baby, bro, that Jade Cargill. All right, then. His wife is like 2 feet away. His wife, love you, Cheryl. His wife is 2 feet away. You're going, yeah, baby, bro. So that Jade Cargill, goddamn. And I went, your wife is right there. Yes, I'm not married. Slap the mic. That's how passionate I am about all the things I wanted to do to me. But right now, she needs to get serious in the ring, needs to be safe and athletic at the same time. You can't be 2017 Nia Jax.
I got you.
So. But yeah, Simone Biles. Right. Yeah, you're Simone Biles. Great.
All right, let's see what y'all looking forward to. All right, I'll go to you, Rob. Being that All In is now done, is there anything you're looking forward to next? Maybe the Bash in Berlin or something else?
I don't care about the Bash in Berlin because that's another fucking, that's another one of those Middle East type shows where they, where you give one guy the champion. You're not going to have Gunther lose in Berlin. Let's cut the shit. He's not going to lose. He's Austrian. That's, you know, fucking little Germany. He ain't going to lose. You're not going to do anything significant. It is a carryover show. Next, what I want to hear is see is AEW, because AEW has momentum now. Please, for fuck's sake, do something with Tony Storm, Mariah May, MJF. Does MJF double down and go quadruple heel? Or does he go, I realize the errors of my way. I'm your scumbag. No, we got, I want to see what, I want to see these people dig deeper. I want to see them dig deeper. I want to see fucking Luchasaurus do something. Do something. You've been teasing him. Do something. Does he have words in his mouth? Do something. Do you put him with Jack Perry again and do something? Here's why I'm the Wyatt Six. With the Wyatt Six, I'll say this. American made is anything at all because they have the Wyatt Six, you know, pressing them. If American made does not have the Wyatt Six fucking, you know, up their ass nonstop, they're going to fall apart. They'll be boring. Cause otherwise they're just another bunch of collegiate looking wrestlers. The gimmick will fall flat. It's just evil version of Alpha Academy. It's just evil Alpha Academy. I want to see how Xavier Woods goes heel. We know what it is. You try to replace Big E. You didn't consult me. Great. I get that. I want to see what he's going to look like following it. Do you cut his hair off? Do you give him contact lenses? He's going to look weird in that faction. I want to see what they're going to do. Give him all black costume. What is he going to do? You got to do him right. Because remember when Daniel Bryan, they brought him into the Wyatts and they didn't do anything with him. He was still Daniel Bryan. They didn't brainwash him. They just put him in a fucking trucker onesie. And yeah, he's like, hey, man, I'm a wrestling champion. I know how to make things work. And they even said, like, you know, did you guys just take him because he's got a beard and he kind of dresses like you? Like, you got to not just have Xavier Woods be Xavier Woods and dress up like he's something out of Mad Max. This is another one of those Mad Max factions that Vince McMahon used to do all the time and never doesn't go anywhere. Nothing comes of it. So they could fuck this up for Xavier Woods really bad if they don't do this carefully.
All right, so it looked like you're going to be looking out for seeing what happens with Wyatt Six and with Xavier. Let me move over to you, Sin City Steve. What are you looking out for?
All right, man. So I am looking out for what they're going to do with Jamie Hayter. I know that John had mentioned his WTF being the fact that she showed up on the 0 hour pre-show as opposed to being on the main show. I completely agree. I need to know what they're going to do with her from here. It seems like as if they had a pre-built storyline right there for the taking with Mercedes and Camille versus Barrett and Jamie Hayter, but they chose to not go that route for whatever reason. Who knows? Maybe Jamie Hayter has heat with Britt Baker, though, you know.
Yeah.
Who knows? Anyway, need to see what they do from there. Also, you know, let's call it what it is. Kenosuke Takeshita looked very, very, very good in the G1 Climax tournament. And they would be stupid to not capitalize and give him some sort of a push upon his arrival back to the promotion. So I need to see if they're going to capitalize on it.
I heard Don Callis climaxed.
Even when he's not here, Matt Michaels making jokes.
Right.
outside of Jamie Hayter, I think that what they're going to do next with guys like Hook is going to, you know, that's going to be key, because obviously Hook beat Chris Jericho in 10 minutes, took back the FTW title. It was what it needed to be, but what are they going to do now with Hook? He seems like as if he's just floating in a sea of nothing, just like so many other people. And he literally gained no ground from this feud with Chris Jericho.
Right.
It would be different if maybe he had gotten elevated, but no, he's the exact same place where he was before this thing. And that just, yeah, I got to see more if they're actually going to
push. I have a question for you about that, though. Hook is very much like Orange Cassidy, in which you've got two very athletic wrestlers who have no mic skills. One leans into it, and he made a name for himself. The other guy has a look, but the people, he can't figure out how to sell himself past the look. Taz is good on mic.
I was literally about ready to say that. We saw Taz put Brian Keith in the Taz Mission, which was the very first thing that he's ever done physically in AEW. And even during the Team Taz days, he was just standing out there, not really doing too much. I think I know exactly where you're going with this.
Paul Heyman his ass.
Yes, absolutely. Put Taz as the mouthpiece for Hook. Problem solved. Done. Just do that. Let him be the one to cut the promos for him and call it a day. Yeah, it's, and you know, I got to see what they're going to do with Jack Perry from here too. Dude looked like it was a 10-minute squash match against Darby Allin.
Yeah, it was.
He beat the fucking shit out of Darby Allin. I know that there are people watching and listening right now that have a disdain for Darby and love seeing him just be destroyed. So I could only imagine how those people enjoyed that match. But yeah, if you like seeing Darby get his ass kicked, go back, spend the 10 minutes, watch that match. It was damn near a snuff film. And yeah, they tried to light him on fire only to be thwarted by Metallica's Seek and Destroy. And Sting came out. They brought out fucking Sting in Wembley Stadium. Imagine that. Yeah, it's...
Oh, Sting retired.
Hey, I'm not going to lie. I popped like a motherfucker for Seek and Destroy, though. Of course I did.
Did you clean up afterwards? Here's my thing with some of these guys that they invest time into. I just don't like Jack Perry as anything other than Jungle Boy right now. Not that he couldn't be anything other than Jungle Boy, but I don't like the scapegoat gimmick. I didn't give a shit that they tried to capitalize off the CM Punk backstage drama from a year ago. I just don't care. He can be as dark as he wants to be, and I just right now don't care. I don't think he has mic skills. He is not as versatile as the Young Bucks. The Young Bucks are versatile. The Young Bucks keep reinventing themselves. Jericho can reinvent himself. Matt Jackson got a little chubby. All right, let's throw a vest on him and make him an evil guy who wants to dress in a suit all the time when he fights. Great. And they got the palms. Great. Jack Perry being a part of that faction didn't do shit for me. He doesn't even look right with them. They're all dressed in suits and he's goth. Like... What the fuck? There you go. There's another one.
Yeah.
The old Bucks.
Call them the old Bucks. Well, yeah, that's the thing. They, you know, when they came out there, and you know, they were never too super shredded, but Nick Jackson's doing all the work right now.
Oh yeah,
you watch this, and I'm like, I feel bad for this guy. It's like I got that. That's not a hot tag. That's a cold tag. That's a. Matt Jackson is like, you know, two more milkshakes away from having a busted ankle.
Oh, shit.
Jesus. All right, let's get in the best in show. And let's do it. Wrong one. I'm going to save Sin City for last. Rob, what was your best in show this week?
The best in show is going to be when Naomi, Bianca Belair, and Jade Cargill released their straight to the POV video. You know, The Bang Bang Scissor Queens, Volume 1. It's going to be great. They're going to bring back Vivid Entertainment just to do it. It's going to be fucking amazing. It's a fucking pay-per-view. It's a fucking pay-per-view. That's the best in show. Anytime you have a pay-per-view, if we're not counting the pay-per-view, then Raw is pretty, you know, innovative. They're moving the needle and they're trying to come up with new innovative storylines and new feuds.
I forgot to watch NXT. I know they're doing some good things over there too. So I hate to discredit them, but I didn't watch them this past week, and I didn't get a chance to see TNA to see what's going on over there. So my bad.
If you wanted Matt Michaels to come, all you have to do is say NXT sucks. Then the Joe Henry music will play, and Matt Michaels will pop up, and NXT's fucking garbage. Say his name, and he appears. I believe.
That's right. All right. Tell us, Sin City, why All In was your best in show for the week.
Well, actually, I was going to say it was WWE Raw. No. Of course it's All In.
I want to be All In Jade Cargill. Ah.
Well, I mean, pretty much, dude. Who wouldn't? Honestly, it was... It was a very, very solid show from top to bottom. I didn't care for the match result in the gauntlet match, but again, we got to see some follow up on where they're going to go with that shit. That remains to be seen. But let's not be quiet about this. Swerve Strickland had a very good title reign. And if you look at the guys that he beat as AEW world champion, it's a list that is definitely something to be proud of. I can genuinely see Swerve getting this title back at WrestleDream, which would make the most sense. They're not going to let him slide back, you know, and especially he just re-signed a new contract as well.
Today. That's right. Exactly.
So
to me, he's not heel enough. I wish Prince Nana was a little more heel. He did one heel move during this show by getting the ring bell, and which I thought was really dope. How they did all that was but he's not heelish enough for me. And I think he should be being the outside guy, you know.
One of the things that I really like with Swerve, honestly, is how and very few guys in the business can do this. He can flip a switch and he can work either heel or face depending on the situation that he's in. And there's no real major drop off in either direction. He's a great heel. And on this run, he displayed that he can be a great babyface as well. So he's a very, very valuable commodity for AEW and will be for the
year. But I don't like that. And not that it's bad that he could do that. What I didn't like about that is that they flipped it on a switch. Every other freaking title, you know, shot he had, it was like, oh, I'm a bad guy this week.
Right.
What? I'm a good guy this week. And the audience was fatigued because he would try to cut a promo. I don't know which way he's going to go from one week to the next. There was no build or explanation.
Right.
We have to assume he's going to be a heel because Bryan Danielson has to be the babyface because he's getting older. So now he has to be a dick. But before that, you know, against Samoa Joe, he was the plucky underdog with the dancing goofball. So, and we're talking about that Samoa Joe was like, what, 6 months ago?
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, heel, face, heel, face, heel, face, heel, face. MJF built into being a face and made it, and it was a gradual build. Like when he's sitting there on the boat and Adam Cole's like, are you going to try to knock me out on the boat? Yeah, I was thinking about it.
No, make no mistake. I'm not saying that I am happy with the way that he was booked. By no means. But what I'm saying is that he was able to make the situation work. Clearly, he's not the one writing these storylines directly. So it's all about being able to take the material that you're given and to make it your own and to carve out and make a niche and develop an emotional attachment with the audience, which is something that AEW has lacked for quite some time. But I think that we saw him be effective with it as both a babyface and a heel. I just wish that we didn't have to see it like what you were saying. 1 month he's a babyface, 1 month he's a heel. I really wish that they would have the continuity to have overarching storylines. But
they need more MJF and LA Knight love, where you just got to get back to the basics of fucking catchphrases.
Right.
Jericho really, Jericho, I guess, does have catchphrases in AEW. But yeah, he needs to have that. He needs to. Yeah. They need to have some hooks for people. Because when Prince Nana goes, "Whose house?" Prince Nana's calling the catchphrases, and it's good. When they were trying to, guys were trying to beat him up, and Nana showed up at the truck and almost ran him over. Nana can be a badass if he wants to be. They need to get him out of the hokey, you know. Hey, put some sand on the floor. Have Nana dance around in a circle. You know, they need to stop with that shit and stretch out his speaking a little bit, besides just doing, like, you know, some Al Jolson 1930s shuck and jive shit. He actually looks like he could do a little bit more.
Well, that's what I was just saying. I think he is, you know, for him outside of the ring, it looks like he should be. What he did bringing that ring bell over in that move was something I wish I could see a little bit more of what he would do outside of the ring. So I don't know. We'll see where that goes, you know, as they continue to build on Swerve.
And All In 2024, yes, Texas did exceed All In 2023.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah.
This year was better than last year for sure.
Which is kind of sad because they didn't fill it up.
I wish more
people could have, but that's good though, because then maybe the next time I'm hoping that they have people waiting out in the parking lot that Texas one to get in.
I'm making plans to be in Texas for sure.
What city is it going to be?
Arlington. It's where the Texas Rangers play ball.
Ah,
there you go. Yeah.
Okay.
So start saving your little straps now, Rob, so you could be there to participate in this, okay?
Hey, Impact. Yeah. How about you do the legwork on this and get us some media access, huh?
Okay.
You know, I know you got poll, man.
The people love me in Texas, and all they have to do is say the word, and I'll get box seats, okay? Okay, and you've never had a box until you've been in Trump's box.
Oh, Jesus. All right. Well, look, with that, let's end the show. We want to thank everybody for hanging out with us. I would tell you the next few weeks in September, we're going to be kind of in and out. Sin City Steve, myself, lots going to be going on. But Matt Michaels will be back. Rob Bosolero will be here. So it's going to be fun watching them two kind of go at it. I might just tune in just so I can.
I've been agreeing with him as of late. You know, everything he said.
Why would you do that?
Right.
You know what we're going to call the Vegas Bad Boys Bald and Beautiful Collection?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, we look forward to that, man, as we approach Labor Day weekend and all that. So thank you again for hanging out. I'm going to pass it over to Sin City Steve, man. What's on your mind, man?
All right, you guys. Thank you for hanging out with us tonight. Thank you for liking, sharing, subscribing, doing all the stuff that you guys do. We appreciate each and every one of you. Also, a very special thank you and shout out to all the brave men and women serving this country, whether you're doing it on lands, foreign or domestic. Thank you for doing what you do so that we can do what we love to do. And last but not least, repsports.com, REPPsports.com. Go there for all your pre-workout, weight loss, and general energy needs. That's repsports.com. Use promo code Vegas at checkout and save yourself 15%.
All right, Rob Bosolero, where are you going to be this week? Maybe Labor Day weekend, man. Where are we going to see you?
Right now, it's just an idea, and I'm going to be making some calls. We're going to be trying to put on a production soon. Okay. And this is going to be a busy week. We'll say it like that. I will just need
to follow you, right? Follow you at
follow me on my socials.
Boss Comedy, yeah.
Follow me in Boss Comedy. So I says here at Boss Comedy. Mm-hmm. There's something big I want to be doing, but I have the people. I have to see if I have the venue, and then I could tell you. but sure. We're going to be trying to do something real big in Las Vegas in time for the Trumping and Kamala. Somebody corrected me. My brother corrected me. He goes, baby bro, it's Kamala. Excuse me. It's whatever the hell I say it is. Okay? But we're going to try to do something really big. Timed to the first presidential debate, obviously.
Is there going to be one?
2 weeks is going to be a debate, I believe, on ABC.
Okay.
And that's what I'm trying to time my production. Best way I can describe it to that. I had a show last week, and some dipshit cop in Boulder City gave me a ticket for what? Going. Yeah, I'm going to Boulder City tomorrow to fight it. I'm not a happy camper about that. You're a greedy fuck. Go fuck yourself. You know, you fucking guy. When somebody tells you the price of a ticket that they're giving you, then you know it's a hustle. What cop tells you the price of a ticket? It's going to be $250, so you are aware, sir. You have any questions? Yeah, you're going to cut my other ball, you fuck? Since you got your hands in my pockets. Anyways, Wise Guys Tuesday, you can come see me. That's one of their open mics, and you get to see a lot of the top Vegas comics perform there, and maybe Wednesday as well for right now. This week's a quiet week.
Okay, good stuff. All right, with that, everyone, thank you for hanging out and watching us live. Podcast is still loaded up on all the different platforms that we have, Apple and Spotify and all of those. So if you ever want to catch us on the audio edition, you can find those as well. So with that, y'all take care, and we'll see you next time. Peace.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.